I'm sure we all realize that the blessings that God reveals in His Bible are promises, and those promises are based on truth, and God does not lie, and He fulfills what He has said He would do. One of the important promises are found over here in Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You shall receive. The promise is to you, to them there, to your children, their children, our children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. So that has happened to people over the centuries. It has happened to those of us here, as many as the Lord will call. And so after our repentance, after our baptism and the laying of hands, we have received that promise. On a personal note, it was last week, last Sabbath, that I had my 55th anniversary of my baptism. And some of you may know him, have known him, because he was in the western part of Missouri, Big John Turner. He and I went to college together, and his widow, Barbara — John died a number of years ago — and his wife, Barbara, is there in that area. She's in Cogwa, and she comes to the feast there in Branson. I think a number of you know her. Well, he and I were baptized with two other fellows at the same time, so we were kind of kindred brothers at that time. But one thing is that no matter who we are or how long ago we've been baptized, we all have responsibilities. And we find one of those noted over here in Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." In other words, we need to allow God's Spirit to guide us, to affect our, and influence our thinking. So, how is this done? Well, we have to look at a principle that we find Jesus describing to his disciples over here in Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 43. Luke 6, verse 43. "A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." Every tree is known by what it produces. A cherry tree will produce cherries, apple trees, apples. Figs come from trees and not from thorns. And in like manner, the Spirit of God will produce the fruit of that Spirit. Like it says in verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good." So it comes from within after God has given to us his Holy Spirit. So this coming year, both here in Columbia and in St. Louis, the Sabbath school classes are going to be covering the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. There'll be biblical examples of people who exhibited that fruit. And so the title of the sermon is, for all of us, is to have a review of the fruit of God's Spirit. Notice Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. And let's notice how Paul wrote this statement. Galatians 5, verse 22. "The fruit of the Spirit is," notice it is not fruits. It's not plural. It's fruit. There was a reason why he wrote it this way. Of course, God inspired it. A good example is a fruit of an orange. If you think about an orange, it can be described as round. It has a color orange. It's juicy. It has pulp, and also is surrounded by a rind. So when we're talking about an orange, all those things are true about it. All at the same time, it's one fruit and has all of those characteristics of that one fruit. Sometimes people think that when you talk of the fruit of the Spirit, it's more than one fruit, like, you know, getting an apple and an orange and a lemon, but they all exist independently from one another. It's not how it works. The fruit of the Spirit consists. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. That's how it is described. It's all those things at the same time. It's all those things. The Greek word for fruit means the effect or the result of something, the product. So the Holy Spirit in us is to produce that fruit, and we will be known by that fruit. So the aspects of that fruit, just like an orange has all those characteristics, the fruit of God's Spirit, the aspects and the characteristics are described right here in Galatians 5. Before we get to this section here in verse 22, let's notice what Paul begins and how he writes. There is a difference. There's a difference between what the world stands for and what God stands for. Notice Galatians 5, verse 15. Galatians 5, verse 16, rather. I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So as we saw earlier, to be led in the Spirit. We walk in it. So that you don't fulfill the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Now the flesh lusts against the Spirit, so that they are contrary to one another, as it says in verse 17. But verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We'll get into what that means in a moment. But let's look at the works of the flesh. And this is what the flesh produces. They produce all of this stuff. And there's different works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. That's what we see in the world today. And that's the result of the worst that our human nature is capable of coming up with. The very traits, as it says, I told you beforehand, I tell you again, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to put that aside. We cannot be living like that. But rather, in contrast, have the fruit of God's Spirit. And that's what should be coming from within, that God has given to us by His Spirit. It is unique. It is unique. Verse 23 at the end, it says, against such there is no law. And that ties in with what it said earlier, that as it says in verse 18, you're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And verse 23 explains that. Against such there is no law. We're not under the penalty of the law at all, which would lead to death, if we have the fruit of God's Spirit. Which of those characteristics of God's Spirit is against any law of God? Having peace, is that against the law of God? Having goodness, is that? No. Having self-control? No. There's nothing there in that those characteristics that is against the law of God. And so you can have as much gentleness and goodness and joy and kindness as you are able, and as we allow God to work through us. Verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. So to the extent that those traits of that one fruit are present in our lives is a reflection to how much we're allowing ourselves to be led by God's Spirit. The more those traits and characteristics of that one fruit grow, the more we're in line with God's Spirit. We just cannot just have peace and not have joy or love. You can't have love and just love and not faithfulness or not self-control. Every facet must be there and accounted for, or the result is a defective fruit, you know, like an orange without a rind, or an apple without a core. Entire sermons and articles in Life, Hope, and Truth have been dedicated to each of these characteristics. And we're not going to go into them at this point, but the main point is that we need to have that entire fruit in our lives. So where did that fruit come from? We know it's from the Holy Spirit. Where did it come from? Let's look at John 15. John 15. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So we must bear fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it could bring forth more fruit. And then we find down in verse 4, we're told to abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So we have to abide in Jesus Christ. And that again is through the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And then verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Fruit, so you'll be my disciples. The fruit he's talking about is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we know it's a tough assignment to do on our own. And if it's just by ourselves doing it, we're going to fall short, because that's why we need God's help, his Spirit in us to do this. It will help us to produce that fruit. It starts out with love. So where does love come from? John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I've loved you. Abide in my love. Other scriptures tell us that God is love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Verse 10. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So love is coming from God and Jesus Christ. And as we abide in them, in God and Christ, that love should be flowing out from us. And that's just one aspect of God's Spirit in his mind. It's an important one, but so is joy. Verse 11, notice verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. We're talking about God's joy, the joy that is in Jesus Christ. That's the origin of joy in the fruit of the Spirit. It's Christ's joy. And we could go on. We could see peace. John 14, verse 17. Let's just go back a page. John 14, verse 17. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So love, joy, peace, it's from Christ. It's then also, Christ received it from God. And that's what comes into us, and that must flow out from us. We even see the long-suffering as part of that fruit. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It's a faith, it's a long suffering, knowing that, yes, there will be issues that we go through in the world, but hey, look, Christ is saying, I've overcome the world. And he did. We see it in his life. And he wants us to endure, and he has given us the ability to do that. So each one of these traits is of God and Christ. Let's look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, another one. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle or meek. I'm lowly in heart. Learn from me, Christ is saying. I'm gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentleness, part of the fruit of God's Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 3, and gentleness is of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3. So when you look at the aspects and characteristics of the fruit of God's Spirit, they all originate in Jesus Christ, who received that from God, the Father. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 to 5. The Lord is faithful. He will guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the command. We command you. And may the Lord God direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Jesus Christ. So once again, we see the love of God and the patience of Jesus Christ. It's encouraging to note that, where that fruit comes from. The fruit of the Spirit contains self-control as well. Notice Christ's example in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So notice what we're to follow. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but it committed himself to him who judges righteously. So what did Jesus Christ do? He relied on God, and he didn't revile in return. That's self-control. And he relied on God. He didn't retaliate. And then verse 25, you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We will be able to show forth the love of God in Christ, the joy in Christ, the peace that is in Christ, the gentleness that is in Christ, the long-suffering that's in Christ, the self-control, because we have returned to the shepherd. We've been brought to the shepherd. We've been brought to the overseer. An overseer guides and directs us. And that overseeing is done by God's Spirit. We are directed and influenced by God's Holy Spirit. We have to allow that, for that fruit to come from us. And as we're told, we're to bear much fruit. So we need all of those traits of that fruit and to grow in each one of those traits as a whole. Now, before we conclude, I want to answer a question that has come up sometimes and has arisen, and that is the question of spiritual gifts as noted in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. It's a little different than the fruit of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. So here is the chapter that describes what these fruits are. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. Now, that's plural. Differences. Various ones. Kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, one Spirit, and from that one Spirit there are different gifts. Remember that the fruit is the product. It's the result of God's Spirit in one. We need to have that same fruit, no matter which gift. It's a gift that's given to us in above and beyond the Holy Spirit. No matter which gift, we need to have the same fruit. And they are uniquely given to people by God. And the purpose is, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, not to help someone becoming more vain and egotistic about what they've been given, but to help all people, everyone within the church especially. Notice some of those gifts of what they are, and they're listed here. Verse 8, one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. I've noticed over the years there are people that have some really, really good wisdom. They just can come to the right sense about certain things. To another is the word of knowledge to the same Spirit. There are people that can, they know Scripture by heart. They know where to go in the Bible. They have this knowledge that it's just there. Another, by the same Spirit, faith. Some are very faithful, and you know we're all to have faith, but some can really have this deep belief in it. We all should have that, but to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And by that, it could be anything from encouragement, anything from the ability to, and I have to give my hats off to the people who work in hospice. I don't know how they do that. A lot of people who do that just have this ability and this knack to be able to help grieving people and also help the person who's going through their deep trial of health. It's something that is just unique. And so we're seeing some of them here. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. Some people have some really insight into prophecy, different prophecy. Some, you know, can really discern whether this is an evil spirit that is influencing someone or something else. Another can have all kinds of languages. Some people can really learn languages quick. You know, I wish I could learn English better. I still have a problem with that. And a good friend of mine at the feast said, "Hey, John, you know, I'm taking Hebrew. Why don't you learn Hebrew with me? You know, you would be able to do it." And I said, no, I can't. That's a hard language. Do you see how those Hebrew letters are made? That's tough. And then figure out how to pronounce them with these guttural sounds. Nope. I'll just use whatever English I have. But some people can do it. They can pick up a language. Some people can interpret languages. But it's the same Spirit, it says in verse 11, distributing to each one individually as God wills. So that's the difference. That is the difference. And so Paul then poses a series of questions in verse 29. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Not everyone does all of that together. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And then he says, I show you a more excellent way. Now, this is in the context of all these gifts. He shows what is the most excellent way. And in the next chapter, he said, no matter what gifts we have, if we don't have love, we're nothing. So there has to be the fruit of the Spirit. Like he says, if I could speak with the tongues of men, but if I don't have love, I become a clanging cymbal. I could understand all prophecy. I can understand all mysteries. I can have all faith to remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Even though I can have the ability to give goods to the poor and feed the poor, but if I don't have love, it profits nothing. And then he gets into the definition of love. And we know that love is just one aspect of the Spirit of God, but it's an important aspect. And just like we know that we see down here in verse 13, and now abide faith, you have to have faith, you have to have hope, and love. These three. And yet Paul says the greatest of these is love. Pursue love, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 14. So whatever gifts that God gives to us, we have to realize that we need to have the fruit of God's Spirit that consists of love and all of the other aspects of that fruit. And whatever gift we are given, it has to be with humility, and it has to be with love toward others. So that's the difference between the two. Some gifts are given to us individually by God, different kinds, and yet the Holy Spirit has been given to all of us through the Holy Spirit, and there is a fruit to that, one fruit that must consist of all those characteristics, as we saw in Galatians. Finally, we then come to our concluding scripture, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness. We didn't know the difference, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And let's just go to verse 10. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So this is how we're to walk. We are to be led by God's Spirit. And then in that sentence from verse 8 to verse 10, there is a parenthetical phrase. For the fruit of the Spirit is on all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Righteousness and truth. So you have another aspect of the fruit of God's Spirit. Not only do we find what is listed in Galatians 5, we find these qualities as well. We have to be righteous, and we have to be full of truth. And we know that God and Christ are full of truth, and they are also righteous. And that's the walk that we must endeavor to walk in. And when we do, we will be led by God's Spirit. And as a product of God's Holy Spirit, we will be producing that unique fruit of His Spirit.